FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have all the reaction to the weekend's match between FC United and Buxton for the men's team. And later in the show, we'll also be hearing if the women's team could progress in the FA Cup as they hosted Brighouse Town on Sunday. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with last Tuesday night's action as FC United progressed to the quarter-finals of the Manchester Premier Cup, following an entertaining tie at Radcliffe FC.
There's a ball now, here's an opportunity. Now, could FC United pass the goalkeeper first shot? That's a goal, and it's a great touch and a good goal there. And Rodney, we've said, if he gets into those good positions, he made a bit of movement there, used his pace, and this time, the first time of the game, he's really done anything at all. He slid the ball with his outside of his boot beyond Ollie Martin, who was trying to charge the space down. Good finish, good goal, and FC found them 1-0 up.
I may be wrong, but I think it was Ennis with the pass.
And FC United trying to close the space down. The ball hit long and deep by Metcalf, and it is met by a blue shirt. It's an opportunity. It should be one apiece, and it gets a deflection and goes over the goalkeeper. In all fairness, he was in a great position there. I think the ball was going to be probably saved by the goalkeeper. He got that deflection, went over the goalkeeper.
Ben Walton's been given the goal.
Has Walton been given the goal, has he?
Yeah.
So basically, we are 10 yards from the 18-yard area because they're right on the line, and it's pretty much dead centre. And Alex Curran, the on loan Stockport County player, can he apply some magic? He steps up, he hits the post, second ball in, no, and FC United find themselves 2-1 up, and it's the FC United's Michael Donoghue with the rebound off the post. It was a great free kick, and there was Donoghue capitalising. There was two FC players there going for it. Donoghue got there first, and FC find themselves 2-1 up here in the Manchester FA Premier Cup round one, with Simbins in operation, and indeed penalties if drawn. And across goes, I think it's Sinclair takes it quickly. He'll want the ball back, and it's on the edge of the area now. Can they get the ball into the penalty area? Well, they fortuitously do. It whips in across everybody, and it's headed across towards the back post, and then it's in the back of the net. Another out of the back post there. It's the keeper came for it, and unfortunately for FC United Manchester, it went beyond him, and it's into the back of the net, and it's two apiece, and we have penalties. So don't forget, you can all stay up and listen to them. It's going to be a right-footed shot from Ben Walton, the substitute. He's a spot kick specialist. And
say that when you've had a few whiskies.
I just did. And the referee blows the whistle. He steps up. What can he do? Straight down the middle, 1-0. Donoghue is the man who's going to step up. FC's captain of the evening. And he's eventually made his way to the penalty area. And he's a right footer as well. So let's see where he can put this. There's a plethora of supporters behind the goal now. Can he make it one apiece?
Heckler's behind the goal.
The tension is mounting. He steps up. The referee blows his whistle. Can he make it one apiece? Yes, he can. Oh, and it's a good penalty to the top left-hand corner of the goalkeeper. Well above him, and it's one all. So it's going to be now the number three. It's going to be Scott Metcalf, left-footed Scott Metcalf. He's going to try what he would normally do. You'd expect him absolutely bang this straight down the middle with a load of pace. He steps up left-footed. The referee blows his whistle. What can he do?
Oh, my goodness.
That has gone to Berry. That ball, and I'm talking, I've not seen a penalty.
That, hasn't it?
That was worse than John Terry. That is still, it's on its way to Bury, and that was an incredibly bad penalty. However,
no, see the new colour code.
So now you get the same bad penalty.
I hope the woman walking her dog on that street over there is unharmed.
Benny went over the street. It went over two streets. It's still going. It's probably on the M60 in about 2 seconds. Curran on loan from Stockport County. I told you he'd leather it though, didn't I?
Mm.
Right footed. What could he do? Could he put FC into the lead? He steps up. Oh, he does. That's a cracking penalty. Keeper went the wrong way. Buried in the bottom left-hand side. And FC fired themselves 2-1 up. It's got to be the very impressive, have to say, Kingsley Williams. He came on as a substitute in the second half, and he was excellent. And Williams, for me, probably should just slot this one in.
So two penalties each. FC 2-1 up.
So it's Williams versus Belford. Right-footed again. Belford... not quite middle of the goal. He is now. What can he do? Oh, and he can't save it at all. It's a good penalty. Again, the goalkeeper going the wrong way. This time, the bottom right-hand side. And it's two apiece. But FC have the advantage, don't they, with the fact that they've actually haven't missed one yet. And now, the quality of Luke Griffiths. He's the kind of player that, for me, would just nonchalantly put it into a corner.
Why are you doing this?
What?
That's not how you commentate on penalties. You're jinxing him. You said he's a quality player. He's just going to put this into the corner. He's destined to...
So what you're saying, basically, is bobbins.
No, I'm telling you, he's quality, and he should put it in.
He's bobbins, and he's never taken one in his life.
There we go.
it'd be right-footed. He steps up, the referee blows his whistle. Eventually, what can he do? Can he make it 3-2 to FC United of Manchester? He steps up, and does it... What I said he does, simple, puts it to the left-hand side. The goalkeeper with no chance on FC and find themselves in front again.
So after three penalties each, FC United are 3-2 up.
Carruthers is it, 17. And now he's going to leather this, you think, as well, over the bar. Carruthers steps up. Saved by FC's debutant, and it was a cracking save as well to his left-hand side. And FC United now, real ascendancy. Are they going through to the next round?
Well...
it's all down to this man.
So it's 3-2.
Jack Lenehan.
A penalty now will make it 4-2.
You're good at math, you two.
Have you carried the one?
Lenehan now. Jack Lenehan. He's
this is the killer.
Puts the ball down. He steps up. The call of dodgy keepers there. But what can he do? Steps up. Oh, what a penalty. Top 90. Top 90 in FC United. Go through to the next round in a entertaining penalty shootout and equally an entertaining second half. And FC United of Manchester, well, it was convincing in parts. There was a lot of changes from Saturday, and they were in a tough encounter against their local rivals and foes, Ratcliffe FC. But FC are the team that come away on a penalty shootout and go through to the next round, which will be the second round of the Premier Cup. Simbins will be in operation, and also penalties if drawn too.
FC United there progressing in the Manchester Premier Cup following that penalty shootout win at Stainton Park. And the draw for the quarterfinals have now taken place, and FC United will travel to Ewen Fields in November to take on Hyde United. But before that, it was to more immediate matters for Neil Reynolds this past weekend as FC United hosted Buxton in the league. In the lead-up to the game, FC United had announced the departures of three players from the squad. For more on this, Ben caught up with Neil on Friday night.
So, Neil, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday evening, and players in particular who've been announced are going out on loan. James Joyce, he's gone to Marine. I think Tom Dean's gone to Clitheroe, and Ryan Halliwell off to Widnes. So,
yeah, I think the important thing here then is, you know, we don't have contract players, so people are saying that is it a loan or have we deregistered them? It's a gentleman's agreement. You know, I spoke to Kev Towie at Widnes, and he wanted Ryan, and Ryan's very much part of my plans. He's not someone I've released and got rid of, but Ryan does need games, you know, so he's gone there, and you know, Kev's going to look after him. But I'd expect that, you know, that favour to be returned. That if we want Rain to come back, not to sit on the bench but to play, then we'll be able to recall him immediately. Similar with James Joyce. Joyce's work pattern has, you know, stumbled his progression at FC United. He's kind of works shifts one week and then he's not available the next week. And so at the minute, he's not working for FC or for James. James wants to go and get his Saturdays. It's difficult to do that at FC because he's got Donny in front of him. And he fully understands that. But again, you know, Joycey wants to be at FC United and says, I just want the games, Gaffer, I'm going to go and play. As with Tom Dean, you know, we spoke to Tom and Tom wanted guaranteeing, you know, that he was going to play every game. And I can't give anyone that guarantee. Doyley and Jones have done really well. I've got Aaron Morris that can go in there as well. Dino played Tuesday night and would have found himself out of the team or possibly the squad for tomorrow. And, you know, he's had a couple of offers in, I think Lancaster have been in, I think Bamber Bridge made an inquiry. But he's, you know, Craig Carney went to Clitheroe last week and he's decided that his football lies away from Broadhurst Park. So, you know, goes with our best wishes. And that's the end of that, really.
Obviously, two matches to come this week. Buxton on Saturday, Baseford on Tuesday. FC United, we've crept our way up towards the fringes of the playoff positions at the moment. These are two important games, it feels like, even though it's October.
Yeah, I mean, deservedly so. You know, two defeats in 12. You know, a number of positive performances along the way. Now we've got back-to-back home games. Obviously, you know, the Buxton game, people were looking at it last Saturday, possibly thinking that's a definite 3 points, and then all of a sudden they go and beat Grantham 7-0 in midweek. You know, Buxton on paper have got really good players, like Sir Pilkington there, and, you know, there's Young's there, and they've got a good side, you know, and they're going to click, and, you know, we don't want to face a backlash tomorrow, so we've got to be on our best. And then Tuesday night we play Baseford, who are, you know, one of the money sides in the league, and we're going to have to really, really be at our best then as well. So, two difficult games in 72 hours, but going into it full of confidence. We've got a squad of maybe 18, 19 to pick from over the next two games. And I can't promise I won't bring another new face in before then. But you know, it is what it is. You know, we can't wait for games to come up now. And we're targeting 3 points tomorrow. And we're targeting 3 points against Baseford on Tuesday.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. You join us here on a delightful Saturday afternoon, an autumnal Saturday afternoon, for FC Live, FC United against Buxton here in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. This is FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Armet. We'll give you the contact details in a second or two, but we've come on slightly earlier for a little bit of a Stato Paul stat chat. I'm working on the title. How are you doing, Paul?
Fine, thanks.
Yes. Well, welcome, Paul, to the show. And this could be a very historic occasion, this, for FC United, because going off the stats and the history of this fixture, we might as well not play this game, Paul.
It's been an away team paradise, this fixture, both home and away. Very odd, this. We've won four times at Silverlands against Buxton in the league in seven visits, which is really, really good.
Very good.
Very impressive. We've had some good days there, good evenings.
The last time we were playing the FA Cup against them.
Yeah, won again. At home, different story. Seven attempts, two draws, five defeats. I was talking to Suley and he said, even in his time, he remembers how hard it was to beat Buxton.
Why is that, Paul?
Cause it's a mystery. I mean, why do we keep winning at Buxton and they keep winning here? Why?
Yes. You know,
unfathomable.
I mean, it was looking likely that we would be beating Buxton this afternoon, given the start they've had. But,
well, that's another oddity.
Yeah, that,
you know, a team gets into the start of October, they've not won in the league, and all of a sudden they win 7-0 at home in midweek, and all of a sudden they're on the upward curve again. So that's football for you, isn't it?
I mean, this has got fireworks written all over it. I mean, Buxton shouldn't be where they are in the league table. This starting 11 that they've got, a couple of XFCs in here as well, it's a quality side, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got some damn good players. I mean, we all know about Grant Jensen in goal. He's denied us a number of times playing against us. And I was just saying to Roy, the last time he played for us was the playoff semi-final that we won at Bradford, believe it or not.
Really?
That was his last game for us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know.
Also in the side is Liam Hardy.
Liam Hardy, 135 goals in 210 games for them. You know. Can't say any more, can you?
No, exactly. I'm right in saying there's another Dale Whittam. That name rings a bell.
Despite the spelling on the team sheet, it is the Dale Whittam that played for us last season, yeah.
Well, there we go. Team news for FC United coming into this game. Obviously, there's been some transfer activity, but outbound transfer activity this past week. Tom Dean has gone on his way to Clitheroe.
Yeah.
Rain Halliwell's gone on loan to Widnes, and James Joyce to Marine. Obviously, Vic Joyce and Dean had decent games midweek against Radcliffe, but you can't really tell from that, can you, I suppose? But
I mean, Manchester Premier Cup selection often doesn't tell the full story, does it? Because players get game time that wouldn't normally get game time, and I didn't see the Tom Dean departure because he played in midweek. He's played nearly every game this season, but obviously for various reasons he's decided to leave, and you know, we wish him well.
I mean, he's getting to the stage now where, because of the low knees that are in the squad as well, Alex Curran and Bebos.
It's a squeeze.
It's a squeeze, isn't it?
Yeah.
So some of the players on the fringes either fight or in Joyce's case or Halliwell's case, they're going to get match sharpness more than anything, which
yeah,
is good.
And we look at the side today and Ennis is back on the bench.
Yep.
Even he can't get a start today.
And, well, also not starting today is Paddy Wharton. He's picked up an injury in the week, and therefore we've gone with Cameron Belford.
And isn't it a good thing that we got a decent standing keeper?
Yes.
This shows the wisdom of the manager.
Well, I think he felt like this twinge was coming, because it has been it's been there in the background, hasn't it? I think I can remember a game early in September where there was a twinge for Paddy Wharton. So
Belford saved a penalty in the penalty shootout, Radcliffe, and helped win us the game. So, you know, no worries about him in goal.
No, absolutely not. We are coming into this game in decent enough form. I mean, it's been a great run if you take the South Shields match out of it.
Yeah, if you take away the league leaders, which is an understandable result, I think we've improved gradually as the weeks have gone by. And we're going into this game against the team that is in the bottom two, admittedly. Has just had a massive win, which will be great for them. But we've got to break this curse about beating them at home.
I mean, there is this thing about the NPL in this early stage of the season. There's a fair few teams, big hitters, who are down the bottom end of the table.
Yeah.
And you can't really get too carried away with anything.
It's very early in the season to start making predictions, I think.
But, Paul, some teams have played more than 10 games this season. That's when you're supposed to look at a league table, isn't it?
Well, I mean, look how many games behind Radcliffe are, for instance.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
Point well made, Paul. Point well made. We'll give you the latest scores as the match progresses. But we are joined this afternoon by Roy Sewell, and James Quinn will be doing commentary as well. But Paul, closing thoughts really. I mean, what are you expecting this afternoon?
Well, I think there's two things. There's one is the Broadhurst Park form. We really have to start winning more games. We've won one or two in this season, but we have to keep winning more. We have to make this place a bit more formidable for visiting players to come and play at, because it's been too easy for a year or two. And of course the other thing is, it's about time we beat Buxton at home, and what greater opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Paul.
For the other thing, no live team stats, unfortunately, this afternoon.
Yes, the stat app is broken, and Aidan, unfortunately, is not able to... His car's broke down, so the stat's broken, the car's broken, everything's broken today, unfortunately.
Let's hope it's not broken on the pitch.
Exactly. And, thank you, Stato Paul, for joining us for this little pre-match chat, and we're going to be joining our commentary team in a second for their thoughts, but just to let you know, some of the other games taking place this afternoon in the league. League leaders South Shields will be travelling to Witton Albion. The surprise package of the season thus far, Michelover Sports, they'll be travelling to Matlock Town. Baseford United, who will be playing here at Broadhurst Park on Tuesday night, they're travelling to Morpeth Town, who are currently in mid-table, but they've only played about seven games, so it's bit early to tell, but Baseford have had a good start to the season. Whitby Town, who obviously had that fantastic result in the FA Cup on Monday, they'll be hosting Warrington Town this afternoon. They'll be hosting Radcliffe, Gainsborough Trinity hosting Atherton Coles, Grantham against Hyde United, Lancaster against Ashton United, and Stalybridge against Bamber Bridge. Welcome back to the commentary team, James Quinn. Hello, James.
Oh, good to be back, Ben. Thanks very much. And really looking for FC to build on last week. That euphoria at the end of the game, fantastic energy. And FC just got to do a professional job today, I feel, with Buxton, who may have won in midweek. But it's just FC now are just beginning to find their feet. I think it's been a gradual upward curve, and starting to know his best 11, close to knowing his best 11, I think. But this is the kind of game, as Paul alluded to, where you just want to see a professional job from FC United, build on the energy from last week. Let's not hope it's any kind of false dawn, and FC can continue to inch their way up the table.
And Roy Steele joins us as well. Hello, Roy, welcome back.
Hi, Ben.
I was going to say, this is a Paul Phillips Buxton side. I mean, that might come with its own connotations, but Buxton could play a lot of football, and good football as well, as we've seen on Tuesday against Grantham.
Yeah, I mean, a 7-0 win, you know, you've got to be doing some things right, haven't you, at the end of the day. But they've got a decent little bit of, shall we say, experience in this team, coupled with, you know, a couple of young lads and newcomers as well to it as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we spoke about Liam Hardy. How do you get a player like Liam Hardy who stays at one club? I know he went off to the North East for a spell, but it's odd, isn't it? Because he's a quality player.
Why do you go to Buxton for your holidays on a regular basis?
I don't. That's an urban myth that's been peddled by certain commentators on this station.
Well, the thing
I go
is,
to Matlock sometimes
you
as
know
well,
what?
Roy.
At the end of the day, I came in here, did I not, before I've even come on here. I've met up with a lot of Buxton lads as regards their board, their players, and they're just, it's a nice club, end of story. So that might be a big telling point as to why Hardy's actually stayed at Buxton.
And excitingly, for when we go to Silverlands for the return fixture, they've got a 3G pitch now, so it's like going to Ewan Fields, but in the hills.
But yeah. I've not even seen that that field yet, so they're on a 3G.
They're on a 3G.
And what sort of and it's spirit level did they put on
it? I was about to say, and it's even.
Is it?
Yes. They've eaten into the slope.
The stand behind the goal looks a little bit like the San Siro, is it?
It's massive now, yeah. it looks like FC United and Buxton are about to come out onto the pitch. So, without further ado, this is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us at FCUM Radio on Twitter. 0161 850 1878 is the text number. You can text Swampe, who I'm sure will love the correspondence, and email station at fcmradio.co.uk. But this is FC United against Buxton, and it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team, Roy Sewell. But first, here's James Quinn.
Ebo there, good work, really tricky stuff there. Witham square ball, great tackle from Curtis Jones, important as well. Sets up an attack here. Owalabi, he's got Baybos to his right, he's coming infield. Plays it out to Baybos, great chance for Baybos though. Maybe could have shot, no, surely for Baybos.
Oh, dear.
Great chance, goal. Oh. Well, they took their time. The Buxton coach goes ballistic with his defence there, but there was patience there from FC United. Baybos, I thought, had a chance to shoot himself, checked, played the ball very calmly across to Buckley, who finished with a plomb, keeper out of position. FC United 1, Buxton 0, 13 minutes.
Like you say, James, Baybos could have put, you know, possibly pulled the trigger there himself, but the first touch off Buckley should have been a shot, in my opinion, but the ball just came into him. It bounced off his foot, to be honest, rather than controlled it, and then set nicely for him to crush a right foot shot into the lower part of the goal. 1-0 for FC.
Shall we mention the tackle from Jones, which
superb, superb 50-50 tackle. Wham!
Now Morris cuts out attacker. Now Baybos has it right hand side. Plays it there for Tunde Owalabi. Right hand side, he's got Buckley. Ooh. Owalabi, Buckley in the middle. Owalabi goes down.
Oh!
Let's get the penalty. Well, he went down and there seemed to be contact.
Can't agree, James.
Well, it looked like there must have been contact.
No. The lad actually made the tackle in front of the ball and put the ball between him and the player, and he went over.
Well, there's not a lot of protestations going on. I would suggest that from here, you can't be certain that's what happened, Roy.
Oh, I was watching it. I've seen enough penalties in my time.
Yeah, but the ball, the players were between ourselves and the ball, but you've not exactly seen a lot of surrounding of the referee by Buxton, but this is a chance now. And there's a debate about who's taking the penalty, which is never encouraging. But Olabi's going to take it, and this is a chance here, having won the penalty, to put FC to a 2-0 lead. Shenton taking his time, taking a drink there. Yeah. Just being a bit streetwise here. Olabi, though, keeping his cool. Then he comes. And a beautifully placed penalty. There was no power, but it was placed perfectly. Shenton went the right way and placed to the keeper's left, and FC United are in a 2-goal lead. Now it's Baybos about 30 yards out, right inside. Nice crossing, and it had to be defended well by O'Grady. And FC United are really threatening to dominate here. They're 2 goals up. and you just feel they want to get some more goals here and really take control of this game, because they are really looking very sharp up front today, possibly the best they've been this season. But left hand side, it's Curran who's going to take this corner. Bebos comes for a possible short one, Whittam accompanying him, but the cross comes in, far post, nodded down, loose,
yeah,
come down, oh, Alabi!
Get in there!
It's 3-0! And, well, the Buxton players are looking askance at each other, but I have to say that the defence was a little static there, and Alabi had an awful lot of time there to control that ball, get it down, and just pick his spot. Shenton spreads out to the right-hand side. Harrison collects, but Dodd straight in there makes the tackle. Throw into Buxton halfway line, right-hand side. And Harrison now prepared to take this throw. Needs some movement from his colleagues. And in the end, that's flicked nicely by Chalmers, but well read by Doyle. Second ball picked up by Ebo, but he loses possession. Now it's Curran. Curran through ball there for Owolabi. Owolabi could be in for a first half hat trick. He has scored! A magnificent finish! He just controlled it and put it in there. It hit the upright. It's a beautiful finish. And when confidence is with you, that's what it can do. A really cultured finish, a lovely ball across to him by Dodd, and FC United are 4-0 up here. We played 26 minutes.
And everything was perfect there for Tundy to actually run onto. Those are the balls that he needs, and these balls that are played in behind defences, those that he can run onto and use his pace to get away, that little bit of time to pick his mark and then execute it like he just did there with superb accuracy.
But the right-hand side, Chalmers with this corner as Buxton look to pull one back. Goes through everyone. A shot from Oebi. Oh, and it was blocked. And now Alabi. Oh, there's a 3-on-1 break here. He's got to deliver this.
Keep it going.
Curran.
Keep it going.
Curran now. He's got to play this to the right. Surely he's got two options. Curran a bit hesitant. Oh, and he goes in. No, it's 5-0. Oh, Curran, I have to say, with what I thought was a rather lame-looking left-footed shot towards Shenton, and it went right through Shenton. FC United are now 5-0 up. Half an hour gone, almost 31 minutes. Roy, could Shenton have done a bit better there?
I don't believe he could, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we had like four FC players charging down on two defenders from Buxton. He had the option of actually pushing it across in behind the two defenders to the supporting FC players. That could have helped him out, because what it did, it delayed the actions of the two defenders that were there for Buxton, and it allowed him the space to go on and actually get a good strike in. And to be honest, initially, and I think you felt the same, you thought Shinton had actually saved it at first, but the ball span over and ended up in the back of the net. 5-0.
And Chalmers clears there deep into FC territory. Good run by Harvey, and a good first take there, but great defending from Jones. Back to Belford, and he clears his lines there. And leaning all over the back of Buckley was Kirillano. Oh, and a mistake there. Tundi Alabi. Alabi into the box. Back heel for Ennis. It's 6-0. Would you believe it? Calamity at the back for the men from Derbyshire. And I thought Alabi was taking too much time there, but he just took enough time to stroll there. Ennis has just come on the pitch. Virtually his first touch. Last week he played in Owolabi, so a return favour there, and it's FC United 6 and it's Buxton 0.
Well, in answer to your question, he's brought him on to score goals.
Yeah. Dodd back, takes it back from Ennis, back to Dodd over halfway. In field goes Dodd, and makes a thrusting run here, plays it out to Morris, right hand side, straight to Linney. Linney taking it towards the byline. Here's Morris on the overlap. Morris there wins it. It's got to be headed out by Harrison. It'll be a corner on the left hand side for FC. Nice interplay there on the right hand side by Linney and by FC's number two, Aaron Morris, and it's quickly taken. Corner comes in. Ooh, and that's gone through to Morris now. Morris, far side. He's got Griffiths behind him.
Griffiths now 25 yards out. We'll think about a little chip in. Inviting ball in. Nodded down. Great save. Alabi surely for four. It is. It's 7-0. And Alabi has four goals. And what a miserable afternoon for Buxton. And remember, Paul, expert statistician, spoke of how this has been an away day, almost an away banker for both sides over the years. Well, not today. And FC United lead by 7-0. It was a lovely cross in there from the right-hand side. And just a good header down. Great save from Shenton, but he was helpless for the rebound, which Alabi took his time, placed it and hit it with some firmness.
Yeah, it was a great delivery into the box. You know, and that's what's caused it all. You know, panicking your defenders are clutching at straws, not getting good headers on them, or not getting good clearances. We've come in at the back post, like you say, great header, which was well saved by Shenton down to his right hand side, but he couldn't grab hold of it, pushed it out, and there was Tunde Owolabi to smash a right foot drive into the back of the post.
Four goals for number nine, and that's it.
Yep.
Absolutely impeccable afternoon's work by FC United. The result here is 7-0. Four goals for Tunde Owolabi, who, that including a 10-minute hat-trick in the first half. Jordan Buckley set to the tone with the opening goal. And then Curran got the fifth. And at the very end there, of course, by Paul Ennis, who else?
And we hope to see you there. Thank you for coming today.
Well, FC United, it's going to be all about chewing on the good lessons that can be learnt here this afternoon, Roy. And really, I suppose, not having a hangover in the way that Buxton have had after their big victory in midweek.
Yeah, you know, both teams, to be honest, you know, they came out with possible aspirations, like, you know, during the warm-up and what have you, for different reasons. But FC put a real big stamp on this game, not only in the scoreline, but also in the manner in what they went about it. Because, you know, sometimes you can have a fortune going for you. But FC gone out, they scored the first. They set the pace, and I feel this is the biggest thing, you know, to getting good results at this level. When you go out, don't wait to see what your opponent's got. You go out and you set the pace and you set the tempo of the game, and that way you'll find yourself up and ready for the fight if things go a little bit wrong, because you're in the mood.
Indeed. Really lots of standout performances, really. I thought Potts was sort of at his best, really, very busy, but rarely wasteful of possession. He had the long injury last season, and it's taken him a while to warm back in, but the recent games, he really has looked like his old self. It's a big miss for FC last season, and he's done well. Bebos, you know, they've just, and of course, Curran, they've got time, haven't they, these young players? They really just have that little bit of extra quality that you don't always see at this level.
Well, I've said on a number of occasions, you know, regarding Michael Potts, people don't realise how bad an injury that was. I mean, the lad was out virtually all the season. You know, you don't get over an injury like that by just flicking a light switch. It doesn't happen like that. And even when he's come back, you know, he's taking a little bit of criticism, you know, over his passing and his movement and this, that and the other. You need to, you know, with an injury like that, he needs time and a bit of patience off people, you know. And now he's getting accustomed and the confidence to try little things, you know, a little bit more than what he tentatively started off doing. And that confidence level grows. And with that, you know, the things that he used to do really well grows along with it. You know,
indeed.
So that's the important thing.
Yeah, and good. And the defence looks, he's got a real shape, real understanding. Doyle, I thought, really impressed me today.
I'm struggling, me, when I look at the team sheet, to find a bad player for an FC. And I've said it throughout the game. I think Cameron Belford was absolutely superb in goals, in the way he was organising things, and I think he simplified a lot of his back four, especially his two centre backs' movements and style of play. I think he's a big influence on it.
Yeah, indeed. And so may even, if Wharton stays out for a game or two, maybe just an interesting little dilemma for the manager, but we'll see how things go. And Wharton has done very well, a couple of slips recently, but bounced back very well from those. So you know, basically that's the opposite of a problem position.
Well, you know what, I've always said that I never ever take a shirt off a player, the player gives it me back. Mm-hmm. And in this case, Belford's got the shirt.
Well, that will and we'll wait. I mean, so what his big thing will be, surely, and we'll speak to Neil Reynolds in a few moments' time, will be a combination of take the confidence from that, boys, but absolutely feet right on the ground. You saw what happened to Buxton.
Yeah.
And just keep... I'm so pleased for the FC, for him and for the FC players, that they built upon that. There was a fantastic energy at Staley Bridge at the end of that game last week, and there's been no kind of hangover. They've got on with the job and they've played some lovely football. They've done it in the right way today.
Well, from that Staley Bridge performance, and my feelings was it was a decent performance as well. I thought it was, I was actually talking to a few speckies prior to the kickoff, and I said, you know, they need to carry that consistency on. I wasn't there on Tuesday, so I don't understand how that one's gone. Like, you know, and they said there was a little bit of inconsistencies from the first to the second half, whatever. But you know what? They've come back. This is the first time I've come here for a while and enjoyed not the victory, but the performance. The performance of every single one of these players. I'm struggling, even down to the subs that have come on, to find a player that isn't worthy of a real big pat on the back.
And to their credit, FC players and manager, as ever, shaking just about every hand, which is why we're waiting for Neil Reynolds. He's got about another 25 hands to shake. Okay, well, congratulations, Neil. You said a few games ago, we were talking about lack of goals, and you said at some point somebody's going to get a walloping, and so it's happened. What were the key ingredients for you?
Just another game, and I know I mean that, but you know, I said at the start of the season that, you know, we were very intricate with players that we picked, and you know, we knew it was going to take time to come together. But I'll tell you what I've just said in there: dressing rooms are special places. Winning dressing rooms are even more special. But what they've got in there is a trust, a togetherness. They all want each other to do well. Don't matter if they're on the bench, if they're starting. Cam Belford comes in today, it's like he's been here all season. Oh, they just want each other to do well. And I said at half time, when I came out 5 minutes early, I said, you don't need me now, because this dressing room will determine the way we play second half. This dressing room know what, how I set training up on a Thursday. You know my expectations of you, so go and deliver it. And if you do that, we'll come a long way.
It seems counterintuitive to talk about the goalkeeper in a way after a set, but we spoke quite a lot during the game about his authority. He didn't put a foot wrong. His authority, he was quite vocal and seemed to have a really good relationship with his defenders, who he's not played with in a competitive match
before. You know, he's great. You know, we've got a, in our position, and I think I'll just briefly mention it, where people go, oh, loan deals, here we go again, and I've read things, and I think, no, these are good lads that want to come to the club, and they can't get out of the contract. But Cam Belford comes here, exceptional goalkeeper. Paddy's injury goes in. Bebos, exceptional. Curran, exceptional. You can see what it means to him to play here. You know, and it's just for us. It's another game. It's chalked off. It's 3 points. I was adamant at half-time that I didn't want Buxton to take the potential record at the end of the season with the maximum win, so I wanted us to do that. You could probably hear me at 7-0. I wanted one more, because, you know, I believe in statements, and I wanted today to be a statement. But I think, you know, at Broadhurst Park, where we haven't been great over the last 4 years, I think you can see things beginning to gel and beginning to come strong.
And the big thing now is, I mean, may be simple, it may not be, is we've seen what happened to Buxton this week. 7-0 win on Tuesday, 7-0 defeat. Obviously, we're not expecting that, but you've got a job, haven't you, to bottle the confidence, but also say, look, feet on the ground, it's a new game.
Exactly, I've just said, 3 points. You know, 7 goals is great. Today's been fantastic. We've now got Basford on Tuesday night. It'll be a different proposition, and they'll be trying to stop us from playing. There's people been here watching today. For us, it was a game that we needed to win. You know, I was targeting a points total over the next two games, and, you know, we're not far away from what I targeted. So if we come out, you know, with our points total, I'll be happy. You know, today puts it that we're on the course for 1.5 points per game, which was key that we won this game. But I've just got to keep saying it. After the way we started, three defeats, and you know, things were said and people doubted people, and I was just had to stay strong with them. And you know, there's nothing won yet, we're only still in October, but you can see there's a real togetherness and there's a real team here, team ethic. And you know, I don't take the credit for that. They take the credit because they're an exceptional bunch.
But you know, it is said that you start to judge a team after about 10, 11, 12 games, which is where we're at now, a quarter of the season gone. Do you feel now that you basically what is going on that field is basically based upon what you and Brian are planning, that plans are actually being executed?
I mean, people raise their eyebrows, and there was again comments mentioned this week when, you know, we've not a clear out, but we'll let Rain go out and Carnes go out and Tom Dean go out and Joycey go out. The squad's good, you know, and I've said to the lads, you've earned the opportunity now to keep your 16, 18 shirts, because I need some fluidity, I need some continuity, but also with the lads that are going out, they've got to keep one eye on us because they may be recalled to come straight back in.
Definitely.
But it's important that, you know, people are saying it's not a loan deal. It's not a loan deal as such because they're not contract players, but it is in our eyes. Everyone wants to play at FC United. The only one that's gone is Dean. And I'll remain quiet about that. You know, I'm not gonna go into details about that. But in terms of the performance, yeah, you know, we do. I think I say it. And, you know, I work hard, and Brian works hard, and we have a style of play. And you know, unfortunately, last season I couldn't articulate that style of play with people who didn't want to play it. This squad are beginning to gel, and they're enjoying the football. I think today we played out from the back 39 times. Chappie's told me, you know, that's what we're trying to do. So, entertaining football, goals are great, clean sheets are great, and we'll enjoy tonight, and we'll get ready for Tuesday.
Yeah. And the defence, I mean, is how much is it's so assured? Those two, they know where. They are, I mean, all the back four, but the two centre-backs in particular. How much is that what you've been doing on the training ground, and how much is them relaxing and just becoming confident and knowing each other?
We do so much on the training ground with the back five. We, you know, in terms of our rotations, our shape, one attack, three drop off, the angles and distances between each other, the analysis on the pods that we do, when a centre-half steps out, centre-mid drops in. We do loads, and it's beginning to click, you know, and Doyley and Jones have been exceptional, and that's why, you know, Dean couldn't get in. You know, they're fantastic centre-halves. I've got Morris to play in there as well. You know, I'm still looking to strengthen the team if we can, but so far so good. You know, two defeats in 13. I don't know where we've gone in the table tonight, but
ninth, I think, ninth, and four, 3 points off the playoffs,
so we'll enjoy it.
My feelings are, though, you know, you've built a defensive diamond block, and I thought Belford gave you that rock of instruction and direction from the back, because you could see on certain situations as the ball come forward, your two centre backs knew what was going to happen because he's got a good instruction behind him. And I thought that absolutely tied it all in.
And it did. Listen, Paddy Wharton has been exceptional for us.
Yeah,
he's 19 years old. Communication, confidence comes with it, with age. Yeah, counts 30. You know, he's played in very good teams and been drilled into him to managers that communication's key. And I can hear him. Centre-halves can hear him. And touching on that diamond, Griff is in front of him.
Yeah.
And he gets loads of ball. And then it just lets Doddy get out of there and get out. I mean, Dodd again. I mean, yeah. I know we're talking about him. 87th minute, and he's doing a 90-yard doggy and getting the corner. And then recovering. Yeah. He's a freak, to be honest.
Well, to me, what I was saying, I was giving it a description, and I said, to me, he's like FC's Dennis Irwin.
Yeah.
You won't know about him until he's out of the team, and then you think, we could do with Doddy back.
Yeah,
definite.
Tongue-in-cheek question, perhaps, but Jim Gannon here today, I believe. Yeah. Is that why you took Curran off? You don't want him to see how brilliant he was?
No. I'll took a bang. It's me being superstitious. I don't like making changes at half time. It was just for him to go.
Oh, I see.
I just don't like doing it. You know, I just like someone to come out, watch the game for a minute, and then take him off. He got a wipe. He should be right for Tuesday.
Good.
Jim's here. You know, he's extended the loan. Jim wants him to do well here. He knows that he's being managed well, and, you know, he knows he's in the team that's going to play similar to how he plays. So, you know, my job is now to make Alex Curran a better player. My job is to, you know, for him to go back to Stockport and get influence that first 11. You know, and if I do that, and he does that, then it's job done. But I've got to say big thanks to Jim, because he's been so supportive, and Alex could have gone higher, but he knows that he's been looked after here and developed.
And in a similar mode, what you're doing is what you've done with some of the our lads, Carney. If they come back, they're up and ready, and they hit the floor running.
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect, Baseford? You've alluded to a physical battle. Do you think?
Baseford are a good side. You know, Baseford are, and they were one of the pre-season favourites. And I know what to expect. I've watched two videos of them now. You know, they'll look at our result today and think, you know, what we're going to expect. But all I can expect my lads to do is try and repeat that performance. They're not going to repeat that. I said at half time, enjoy these moments. It might happen once in your career, twice in your career. Enjoy the moment at half time, because they were exceptional. It's gone now. It's gone. It's 3 points, and we're looking upwards. You know, we're looking upwards, and we'll take that.
And finally, I mean, it is a really tight division. I mean, South Shields kind of runaway leaders, although they lost today.
Yeah.
But really, there's a it's such a small gap between the player, the teams in the playoff places and the kind of area of the mid-table that a few results and you can be in the thick of it.
My dressing room, we talk about we harbour a little ambition, you know, when I say that. We're not going to shout what that little ambition is, and you know, no one needs to see us coming. We've just got to keep picking points up, keep matching our points total and see what happens. But you can see we're getting better and better each week. Yes, they're still going to have setbacks, we know that, but you're seeing we're a fantastic side.
Well, thank you very much for joining us so quickly. Congratulations, really pleased for you.
Brilliant.
Please congratulate the lads for us, and we'll see you in 3 days.
See you in 3 days. See Thanks, guys. Brilliant. Cheers.
Come on, Salford.
Right, gentlemen, we're going to go now. Women's team live tomorrow. Join us at 2 o'clock. It's an FA Cup special. FC United taking on Brighouse. We're back for the men's team on Tuesday night. It's FC United against Basford United live here at Broaders Park. We're also on North Manchester FM, so watch your language, you two. But we've got a rush now, haven't we, lads?
Salford Red Devils.
Let's get out of here. Right, we'll see you soon. Thanks, James. Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Woodsell.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's fantastic 7-0 win over Buxton. That result sees FC United now 3 points from second position in the league table, and next up for the Reds, FC will be hosting that team sitting in second, Basford United. This mammoth league encounter will be taking place at Broadhurst Park on Tuesday evening. Admission will be pay on the gate. £12 for adults, £7 concessions, £3 for under 18s. Kick-off on Tuesday will be at 7:45 p.m, but remember, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live from 7:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on your radios in and around North Manchester on North Manchester 106.6 FM. FC United will also be in action this Saturday as well, as Renault's Reds travel back to Atherton to take on Atherton Colls. The address for the ground is Older Street, Atherton, M46 9EY. That's Older Street, M46 9EY. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. with full coverage available on FC Radio from 2:30 p.m. Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United welcome Brighouse Town to Broadhurst Park in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. To hear how the Reds got on, it's over to Ben.
Well, hello everybody and welcome once again. It's Women's Team Live here at the back of the main stand at Broadhurst Park. FC United this afternoon hosting Brighouse Town in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. Obviously, last week, you remember FC United producing an excellent second half display against Morecambe, but it's a tough game this afternoon because FC United, as I said, will be hosting Brighouse Town. Brighouse currently lying second place in the division above FC United. That's a National League Division 1 North. That's a division with the likes of Barnsley and Leeds United in. So certainly going to be a very tough afternoon. Currently unbeaten, Brighouse Town, but FC United are also currently unbeaten. Brighouse, I'd imagine, a side very much on the radar of Cameron Hussein, who's obviously the manager of FC United's women's team, but formerly of Geisley, that neck of the woods, of course, that West Yorkshire area, so he'll be more than aware of what Brighouse will be bringing to the table. Obviously, FC United had a great run in the FA Cup last season, unfortunately being knocked out by Chester the Street, of course, at Avro. So hopefully it will go a bit further this season. But as I said, a tough game against higher opposition in the form of Brighouse Town. Both teams in a huddle, but this is Women's Team Live. Will it be FC United? Will it be Brighouse Town? There's only one way to find out, and that's to stay tuned for the next 2 hours or so here on FC Radio. And Kefford plays the ball to the left-hand side of a penalty area, and that's played forward there by Bailey. And now into midfield the ball goes, and Brighouse looking dangerous here. Plays a long ball over the top, Davis covering, and Davis calmly, very calmly, cool as you like, plays the ball back to Ainsworth, who distributes it out to the right-hand side to McCarrick, who brings the ball down well. And now into Brighouse's half, releases a lovely ball to Bailey. Bailey scores! That's a fantastic goal from FC United, from defence to attack. Fran Davis plays the ball to Ainsworth. Her pass, whether she meant it or not, was a great ball out to McCarrick over on the right-hand touchline, who brought the ball down well. Plays the ball to Bailey, who's been very, very lively in this opening 15 minutes. She stays onside. A great finish down to Kefford's right. She had no chance. Into the far corner, the ball goes. And on 15 minutes, FC United take the lead. Pilling now. Pilling just inside Brighouse's half over on the left-hand side. Square the ball goes. Back out to this right-hand side to Bailey. Bailey now with the ball, looking to bring it towards the halfway line for the team in green. Plays the ball. It's a nice pass, that. And here comes Brighouse into the penalty area. FC United at sixes and sevens here. Shot comes in into the near post. And Brighouse have got an equaliser on 18 minutes. That was a great piece of build-up there from Brighouse. But you did feel that FC United was staying off them a bit too much. And they found a pass inside FC United's box. The finish into the near post. The ball goes. And on 18 minutes, it's one apiece. Nice layoff there by Proud, and now it's FC United defending. Proud on the left-hand side, looking to come in field. Into the penalty area she comes. Clearance made, though, there by Jean, but it's not been dealt with by FC United. It's still... Oh, that's a messy challenge there from Chelsea Patient inside the penalty area. Nailed on penalty for Brighouse. And, well, FC United didn't really deal with that attack over on the left-hand side. Once again, really, it was similar to the equaliser that Brighouse got. And... Brighouse on 30 minutes have a great opportunity here to take the lead, and it's going to be the captain Cass to take this. Annabelle Cass steps up, slots it to Ainsworth, his left. Ainsworth dived right, and the score on 30 minutes is FC United and Manchester 1, Brighouse 2. Kefford forced into a save about 10 minutes ago, but other than that, FC United haven't really threatened. And it's going to be Jean takes this throw in. Here's Bailey. Bailey challenged, and now Brighouse with possession. Can they quickly counter here? Forward the ball goes. Yes, Brighouse free. Four players forward in this attack. Down the left-hand side, the ball comes. Chelsea Patient tracking over to try and win this ball. But the cross comes in. It's from Proud. Charged down, though, and Lukes plays the ball calmly to Fields. Fields, handball, surely, referee. No, play continues. Shot comes in for Proud, and that's a controversial goal there, I've got to say, from Brighouse, because clearly there was a handball there, and it broke for Proud for a second bite of the cherry, and she lobbed it over the keeper. And 22 minutes played of this second half. Very controversial stuff. The referee is 5 yards away, but didn't give it. And, well, I think that's probably the tie. Ainsworth in the 6-yard box. Back out to Patient. Patient now. Oh, she's going to get pickpocketed here. Yes. And Brighouse back with possession. And now inside the penalty area to Bennett. Bennett cleared by Davis to the halfway line. The ball comes, and it's Bamforth now on the ball. Here's Dobson. Dobson out to the left-hand side to Housecroft. Housecroft down the left-hand side. The ball comes to Wilde, who's in acres of space. Wilde now driving the ball to the byline towards the penalty spot. The ball comes, and just like that, with 15 minutes left to play, that's a good night from this FA Cup tie for FC United and for the FA Cup this season. Parnham there slotting the ball home. 4-1 the score. Out to the left-hand side to Housecroft. The ball goes. Housecroft to Wilde. Wilde now just on this touchline. Back it goes to Housecroft. Housecroft along the halfway line. Here's Cass now moving the ball forward. Cass chips the ball over the top. Oh, and if that goes in, that's a fantastic goal from Brighouse right at the end. Cass with a ball over the top, taking on the volley. First time there by Proud, who gets her second goal of the afternoon. And on 84 minutes, FC United trail now by 5-1. Full time here at Broadhurst Park in the drizzle. 3 minutes of added time played here, but it wouldn't have mattered really, because FC United are going out of the FA Cup this season by 5-1. Started off so brightly with Jordan Bailey scoring after 15 minutes, but then that's when Brighouse started to come back into the game with goals from Beresford. A penalty on 30 minutes saw Brighouse 2-1 up heading into half time. It was then a question of would league position tell in the end. Brighouse obviously started the season off so well in the division above FC United, and it was the quality that told in the end. Brighouse really turning the screw in the second half, scoring 3 goals, some quality goals, a controversial goal as well, we should say, a handball perhaps that set up Proud, but Proud scoring a worldie on 85 minutes to see the game comfortably into Brighouse's hands. Brighouse 5-1 winners here in the FA Cup. They go on, and a big good luck to Brighouse in the next round. But FC United now concentrating on the County Cup, on the league, and on the Argyle Cup. and we'll see you all very soon. Bye-bye.
Ben there from Broadhurst Park on Sunday. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.